The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So hello and good morning. And so this is a new week for our YouTube Sangha. And having finished the series on love last week, and I find myself somewhat happily content and empty of topics and things to teach. I think that long series on love was wonderful to teach, and it kind of, the immersion in that topic kind of left me, now that it's over, with kind of content and happy and nothing really engaged for a series for this week exactly. So what I'd like to do this week is read some poems from the verses and poetry of the ancient Buddhist nuns. I've been involved on and off for the last 10 years with translating and thinking about studying these poems. And so I thought it might be nice, since I've been involved in it and it's been doing some of it through the summer. It's kind of fresh on my mind, and it's a nice way to maybe do something simple here for this week. And so called the Teri Gatha. Gatha means verse, and Teri means elder, an elder nun. And so it's the Gathas of the elder nuns. And some people will translate this word Gatha as song. And some people even have, some places, as a ballad, as opposed to a poem or a verse. And it's possible that we don't know how it was chanted and or how it was presented. But I suspect, as I read these poems, that they were partly performative, at least some of the longer ones. And so they had a whole kind of oral way of presentation that is lost on the written word. And sometimes the written word comes out a little bit flat. And on the surface, these poems are meant to be understood to be the poems composed by the different early Buddhist nuns. Sometimes I think it was some narrator who composed, someone else wrote it about the nun. And sometimes it's someone speaking to the nun or recording a conversation between the nun and someone else. And But the remarkable thing over and over again in these texts is I see it as a celebration of women's potential for awakening, and also their potential for independence. Though the word is not used, becoming a nun, and especially becoming an enlightened nun in ancient India, was to step out of what was most often a very oppressive a social system where women were oppressed. Women were not just wives, but as wives, they were probably closer to slaves, with the very dramatic subservience to the man, and working as more like servants in the household than an equal, for sure. And I think life was quite hard back then, and medicine was very different then and now. Many women died in childbirth. Many children died when they were children, and babies died. And so a lot of verses talk about the grief that women had in losing not just one child, but some of them lost multiple children, losing a husband, and who took care of everything. And so these poems touch a lot of what it was like to have been a woman in a challenging social times and challenging condition of being a woman. And addresses that in a way that is comparable verses of the monks. Don't really talk much about their social conditions and the kind of deep personal challenges they might have had themselves, maybe because they had a very different place in society and they didn't have the same degree of existential challenges that women had back then and maybe now. And so I want to just read a few of these poems today and go through this week. And maybe you get a sense of it, some of them. A good number of the poems, the name of the nun has a meaning. And sometimes the verses are playing with that. And so there's, for example, there's a short poem by the nun named Mutta, and Mutta means to be awake, to be free, and liberated. And moksha, the poem begins using her name as an instruction. Free yourself, Mutta. Free yourself, Mutta. So there's a lot of kind of a wordplay going on with the names, and it's not obvious that this one is the poem's playing with this woman's name. But her name is Sama, and here Sama means peaceful. And so so she writes in the first person, or composed this. In the 25 years since I have gone forth, so she's been a nun for a long time, 25 years that she's been living that lifestyle and a life of kind of radical simplicity and meant to be devoted to practice and devoted to her liberation. In the 25 years since I have gone forth, I do not know I ever obtained peace of mind. I have never known attaining any peace of mind. I gained no peace or control of my mind. Then, remembering the conqueror's instruction, the conqueror is the Buddha, and what he conquers is himself. He conquers his own inner challenges and attachments, fears. Remembering the conqueror's instruction, a sense of urgency arose in me. There's a word, samvega, which I translate as urgency, which has to do with a little bit a sense of feeling a little bit the preciousness of life, the dangers of life, the need. If you want to be awakened, this is the time to do it. And really feeling motivated, a strong motivation to practice now. Then remembering the conqueror's instruction, a sense of urgency arose in me. Being devoted to attention, vigilance, regarding all suffering states. So she'd been a nun for 25 years, but maybe she hadn't really given herself completely over to be devoted to being vigilant, to being attentive to all suffering states, whatever suffering ways was arising for her. She was not going to be complacent about it. She wasn't going to ignore it. She wasn't going to deny it. She wasn't going to distract herself. She was really going to be right there to pay attention to it. Being devoted to vigilance regarding all suffering states, I reached the destruction of craving and accomplished the Buddha's instructions. Today is the seventh night since craving dried up. So she's writing this seven nights after her awakening. So after 25 years of practice, something happened to her where she said, okay, I have to get serious here. I have to really give myself to the practice. And she did, and she reached the end of practice, the end being reached her own liberation, Whereas a radical, here she used the expression drying up, not the abandoning, not the throwing away or letting go or destroying something, but somehow through the vigilant attention to suffering, something about attachments, here called craving, is no longer fed, is no longer supported or reinforced, and it begins to dry out, fade away until she's free. So I'll read it again. In the 25 years since I have gone forth, I do not know if I ever attained peace of mind. I had gained no peace or control of my mind. Then, remembering the conqueror's instruction, a sense of urgency arose in me. Being devoted to vigilance regarding all suffering states, I reached the destruction of craving and accomplished the Buddha's instruction. Today is the seventh night since craving dried up. So it's a remarkable thing to say that craving has dried up, that she accomplished what the Buddha had to teach. So I see this song, this poem, as a celebration of that. She's after 25 years, what a relief, what a joy, how wonderful. 25 years devoted to something and then finally getting serious enough to see it through to the end and accomplishing the end of craving. Not only is it celebrating women's capacity for liberation through these poems, but it's also a clear kind of testimonial that this is possible. It's possible to become free. And so here's one more that follows this one. And it's similar, having, not finding peace, this woman. Not attaining mental peace and with no control of my mind, 4-5 times I left my meditation hut. I approached a nun who was trustworthy. She taught me the Dharma. I listened to the Dharma as she instructed me. For 1 week, I sat cross-legged in one spot, filled with joy and happiness. On the 8th day, I straightened out my legs and shattered the mass of darkness. So she's living in a certain kind of darkness, certain kind of ignorance, suffering, having no mental peace. She found another nun who could teach her. She listened. And then she listened to the instructions. And then she went and enacted or followed the instructions for 1 week. And she too became liberated. Here it's described as shattering the mass of darkness, mass of ignorance. So, very confident poems, very wonderful testimonials, and even more so that this happened in an ancient world that was difficult for women. And so we come to our world, and we too can shatter the mass of darkness. So thank you, and I look forward to continuing this, and hopefully you'll enjoy these delightful little poems. Thank you.